If you will, go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and kind of moving forward from that point is where we're going to be focusing our study for a little while. Appreciate David reading the scripture to us out of Hebrews. I want to go back to Hebrews once you get Genesis figured out, if you would put a marker there or something, and then move back over to Hebrews chapter 11. I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you guys again. It's always a blessing to be here, always a blessing to be speaking the things about our God and from the Word that He's given us. I do love the singing, so I would have honestly, we were kind of making jokes about it earlier this morning, but you know, be able to just forgo my speaking today and just sing those beautiful songs to our God. But the lesson here this morning is going to be important, and it's coming out of the idea of actions and through our works of faith that we proclaim our God through the actions that we bestow upon Him from the instructions that He's given us. We look in Hebrews, and starting again in verse 1 of chapter 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." It's a beautiful thought to think that something can come out of nothing. And of course, we on this earth know that scientifically that's not possible. Something has to come from something in order to make it something else. But God is all powerful. God has the ability to make something out of nothing, matter out of no matter. And it's a beautiful thought, but that takes a lot of faith to believe in, especially as us Christians. And as we go through our lives, we think about the idea of something out of nothing. It's really a concept which is foreign to us, because we as people know that something has to come from something. But God holds the power over this entire world, over us, and He can make something out of nothing. So that's a tremendous amount of faith to put into something. And then again, skipping down, they're giving some examples of faith here. But if we skip down to verse 8, it's where I really want to focus our study and bring it back to Genesis chapter 12. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him in the same promise." And verse 10 is really key. "For he waited for the city which has its foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That's really what faith is right there. It's putting our focus, our soul entity, in the idea that God is our builder. He is our foundation. He is our strength. Abraham's faith is what is being talked about here. "By faith, Abraham did this." If we skip down to verse 13, again, "All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed them, and they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, they had called to mind that country from which they had come out. They would have had opportunity to return. But they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Oh, what a beautiful thought. When we put our faith in God, He is the one that has prepared that city, that foundation for us. And then we look and we see that in verse 17, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, who had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received as a figurative sense." We know the story of Abraham, and we talk a lot about the story of Abraham in our children's classes, especially growing up. You really get to hone in on the old patriarchs, the old stories of these men who were faithful to God. But they are so applicable for us as they are for the younger ones, because our faith is solely rooted in the idea. Abraham wasn't a young man when he decided to be faithful to God. When God called him to be faithful and to leave his homeland. He wasn't an old young man at that time. But by faith he left. And we see that faith isn't just this idea of I have faith in something that I can't see, but it's putting the actions with what you're speaking. It's not just saying, I'm going to go do this, I have faith it's going to happen, but it's actually going and doing what God has said to do or not to do. I want to jump over to James chapter 2 really quickly before we go into Genesis. James chapter 2 and verse 23. This has always been such a beautiful passage to me in my life. We'll start actually in verse 22. Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, talking about Abraham? Actually, let's go ahead and start in verse 21. Was Abraham not our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and that faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, that man is justified by works and not by faith only. And then it gives another example. Verse 26 ends in and says, though, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's not just enough to have faith that God will save us. It's about doing what he says will save us. But beautiful, beautiful thought in verse 23 that it to be called a friend of God. That's honestly, it's such a humbling thought, not to mention an action that can be for each and every one of us. To be a friend of God, that's powerful. Genesis chapter 12, let's go over there. We think about this idea of faith. We think about the idea that by faith Abraham did these things. Well, let's look at what Abraham did. Let's look at what he did. Chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall have and be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is God's initial promise to Abraham. This is what he's commanding him to do. Go and leave your homeland. I will take care of you. Just trust me. Believe in me. Go and do this. Verse 4 is the important part of Abraham. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I'm not sure 100% of all the details because I wasn't alive in that time. I don't know exactly how it worked. But from what history shows us, these families, they stayed in their place of dwelling. A lot of them didn't go out and spread out. Initially they did, right? When, all the increments of the Bible kind of give us these beautiful snapshots of history. And we see the spreading of mankind. But once they found a place to dwell, they wanted to be with each other. The Tower of Babel is a prime example of people wanted to be together. They wanted to live together. And they didn't want to spread out. They had to spread out when the languages were confused. Well, you got to understand that the same context is here. These people don't want to spread out. Their families, their fathers, grandfathers were all from this land. They're proud of this land. They want to live in this land. So getting up and moving, even for us today, when we're all spread out everywhere and families, in multiple states, it's difficult for us to just uproot ourselves and go. Well, imagine even in their time when everybody did stay in a certain location, to get up and just leave that place. That's a big thing to ask. Very big. And it wasn't just, hey, go on this trip and I'll show you this really cool place and we'll come back. It was, no, go. Take your family, take your livestock, take your possessions, go. And trust in me that I'm going to provide for you. And that's exactly what Abraham did. And Abraham departed as it was spoken to the Lord. Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed to Haran. He took his wife, he took his possessions. He made the action. He did the action. It wasn't just a matter of putting his faith in God. He put his faith in God and showed God that he trusted him by doing what God asked. It wasn't a matter of, well, how do I know you're going to do this? Are you sure? I don't know. This seems weird to me. It was, God said it. I'm putting my faith. I trust you. And we see that's what friends do today too, right? If your friend comes out and asks you some wild thing, it may seem a little strange to you. But if you know your friend and you trust your friend and you believe in your friend, you generally will help your friend out with whatever your friend's trying to get you to do. Well, in the same context, Abraham is considered a friend of God. Just like a friend trusts in another friend, Abraham trusted in God. Genesis 15 really is the promise of the son that we read about earlier. By faith, he offered up Isaac, his son. Let's look into that context a little bit. He says in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I'm to go childless?" You think about it, he was already 75 when he had to leave his home. Now he's going to be older at this point in time. Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born of my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but the one who comes from your own body shall be your heir." He brought him outside and he made the promise. He said in verse 5, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and the country stars, and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" The second promise that's made to Abraham about his descendants. He's already a very old man. He's not expecting to have children. How can you bless me with anything else? I don't have children. It's the one thing that he wants. God's given him possessions, as you can read throughout here. He has plenty of livestock. He has plenty of relatives, friends that love him around him, but he didn't have his heir. He wanted his heir. And God is promising him that heir right there. That's a pretty steep promise. And in chapter 17, There's a covenant that Abraham makes with God, and God makes with Abraham, and that covenant becomes a sign that gets passed on generation through generation. But what's really important is chapter 21 with when Isaac, Abraham's son, is actually born. God has fulfilled now his promise through Isaac, and he said, "Here's your son." But after God's promised his son, as we read in chapter 15, he's made the covenant with him in chapter 17. We come into chapter 21 and Isaac is born. It's fulfilled. Everything is wonderful. We're all happy. But chapter 22 of Genesis is really what shows Abraham's faith. And that's what God asks him to do next. Let's look at chapter 22 of Genesis. And we're going to be reading this whole chapter. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Now take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and you go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you.' So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son." So that's a really weird request. Especially seeing, you see this build-up, this promise, this covenant, this commitment, and then all of a sudden he's asking him to go up here with this offering. And he rose, he went to a place God had told him, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Again, not questioning God. God tells him to go, boom, he went. Abraham says to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood is here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of God that God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up the burnt offering instead of his own son. And Abraham called the name of this place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "Like by myself I have sworn these things, says the Lord, because you have not done this thing, and you have not, or because you have done this thing and not have withheld your son from your God, I will bless you, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. And I'm actually not going to read the entire chapter, because there's a snippet here that's still part of kind of the genealogy there. But the thought of trust that Abraham put in God, yet again, when he says to go offer your only son because I told you to. He didn't waver, he didn't question, he didn't doubt. What did he say when his son asks him, "Well, where is the sacrifice?" He said, "The Lord will provide." He put his entire faith, his entire focus in the fact that the Lord was going to provide. It's a beautiful thought to think that God has the power to turn something into turn nothing into something. To be able to take this picture that we see here and just create the opportunities for Abraham to succeed or to fail. Because he gave Abraham that choice to succeed or fail. And Abraham chose correctly. He chose wisely. He chose his Lord, who will not fail, who will always provide for his children. And remembering again what he talks about in James chapter 2, that he is considered a friend of God because he put his trust in God. We're not promised blessings in this life as far as good times, lots of money, great success in our lives. That's never a promise to us. Matter of fact, we are promised hardships and we are promised trials and we are promised that there will be difficult times. We're not promised that everything's going to be beautiful. Our hope and our faith comes from the assurance that there is something better awaiting us after this life. Truthfully, it does. If we look over in Matthew chapter 10, I'm sorry, I think I said Matthew. I think that's where I want to go. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He said, "You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." It continues on, "When you are persecuted in this city, flee to another, for surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." And it continues on, these instructions to his apostles and his disciples here in Matthew chapter 10, but really honing in on verse 22, and he says, "You will be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." That's a true promise that he made to his apostles and his disciples. We are his disciples. We follow Christ through our faith. Well, this is a promise that he makes to them. I guarantee you it's for us too. We're going to be suffering for the sake of Christ. If it hasn't happened already, I promise you it will. But the beauty is that when we endure, that's when we have that relationship, that salvation with him. In the end, you will be saved. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verse 8. "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promised of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For this is to the end that we labor and suffer reproach, because if we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe, the things commanded and teach, Let no one despise you because of your youth. Be example, believers. Conduct yourself in love, in the spirit of faith and purity, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which has been given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing in them. For doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. John chapter 14. In verse 3, these passages about the hope that we have, what's laid up in store for us. It's not promised it's going to be easy. Abraham didn't have it easy, but he put his faith and his trust in God. John chapter 14, verse 3, when Jesus again is talking to his disciples. Matter of fact, let's just start in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You who believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, you may also be, and that where I go, and what I know, the way you also know. So, just like God promised Abraham, hey, get up from your homeland, go and follow me, do what I have told you to do, I will take care of you. We saw God fulfilled his promise and he didn't let these things happen. So he's telling us as well, that if you follow me, it's not promised to be wonderful all the time, but I will be there for you. He comes back and he says that I have prepared a place for you. I have put your foundation of your faith and your trust in me. Believe in me. And he tells us, that where I am, you will also be. He has prepared the place for us. It is nothing that we can even fathom. God, who created this world, created something from nothing, goes through and creates something even better for us, if we hold on through and keep what he and continue to do what he has asked. I want to conclude this morning by going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I really am completely unaware of how long I've been speaking, so if I've gone over my time or if I'm under it, I apologize either way. I think 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to conclude today. Remembering the thoughts and really the idea and the concept of our faith being what moves us to do the works that God has asked us to do. Faith is a powerful, powerful substance. And it's putting a lot of trust in something that we know very little about. But it's what moves us to do the things that we have been asked to do by God. It's what shows us his love. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Our faith is what moves us to do the things that Jesus has told us to do, that God has told us to do. And then and Paul, talking to Timothy, really echoes that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read this passage, and the lesson will be yours. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus, and in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in war entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please himself who has enlisted himself as a soldier. We're giving up of ourselves. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point in chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. This is the faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit in the ruin of their hearers, but be diligent to present themselves approved to God, workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more godliness. Their increase will be to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God, having its seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house were not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also those useful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who have called upon the Lord with a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. But if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The Lord calls out to us and tells us to do these things, to live in this way, and as we should. I said that was the final verse, and I mistakenly spoke. I have one more verse. Second Peter chapter 3. As this is an encouragement for all of us to remember that we can put our trust in God because, as we looked at, He is faithful to us. He will keep His promises. And the Bible tells us that. For 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the will of God, is to be with His children and to walk with us, to be our friend. But in order to have a friendship, you have to have trust, you have to have love, you have to have the relationship. And relationships are built on a lot of hard work and going through a lot of sometimes not so fun things. The road to Christ is narrow, and there are few who find it. The way to destruction is broad, and many do. If you're someone who wants to go be a friend with God, to put your trust in God, we encourage you today to become baptized, to work with our Lord and our Savior, and as we work with you and each other and ourselves every day, to be what God has asked us to be. If we can encourage you in any way, or you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, please come while we stand and we sing.